use their talents in the service of the Lord. Anyone have something you want to say before I read my lesson today? Well, if not, I would like to invite you to turn to the fourth chapter from the Gospel as recorded by John. John chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 27. Now, all of you are I'm sure, are familiar with the fourth chapter of John. This is a record of a time when Jesus went to Samaria, and he encountered the woman at Jacob's well. And he had perhaps a long conversation with her about living water. She had come to draw natural water from Jacob's well. But Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water is going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, that got her attention. And she wanted to know more about that living water. And so Jesus explained to her about the living water. And she asked for a drink of that water. Of course, Jesus was talking about salvation and about the Holy Spirit being in her, a well of water springing up, provided knowledge of salvation, and that would be everlasting and eternal. She'd never have to drink of that well but one time. I mean, as a source of the water. But as long as she lived, that well within her, that Holy Spirit within her would spring up, you know, and provide spiritual blessings for her as long as she lived. His disciples were with him when they went to Samaria. And they had been, it had been a long journey, and they were weary, and they were hungry. So the disciples went into the city to buy food. And Jesus had sat down on the well. Now, verse 27. I will begin reading. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that thou knowest not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Now I'm going to stop there, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to base my thoughts today upon this 35th verse that I read in your hearing. We're approaching revival time again, a time that's been set aside to begin a special effort to try to reach lost people. And we pray that it will indeed be a revival, that all of us will be revived and renewed and be strengthened. In the faith, and that souls will be born into the family of God. And so with that in mind, Jesus said, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." You know, farmers are very, very much aware of the fact that when they till the ground and prepare it and then sow the seed, that they're going to have to wait a while before they will be able to harvest, gather in a harvest. But Jesus, he said to the disciples, say not in your heart, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. He said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. That reminds me of what Jesus said in the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew, where the Lord Jesus was talking with his disciples, and he said to them, let me back up and just kind of lay a little foundation. The Lord Jesus, he began his public ministry immediately after being baptized. He went to John the Baptist, and John baptized him. Now, there's a purpose for that baptismal service. Jesus was already the Son of God. He didn't be baptized or was not baptized in order to become a child of God. That's not the purpose of salvation. But that marked the beginning of his ministry. His ministry included establishing a church. The church was going to be established out of baptized believers. And so Jesus was going to be the chief cornerstone in that building, that church. He was the first one that was set in the church. And then the other disciples, as they were baptized, were united into the church. That is, with the exception of those that John the Baptist had baptized. And he had baptized them in order to prepare them for Jesus to use when he began his ministry. And so, for a period of time, Jesus was the only preacher that the church had. He was the teacher and he was the preacher. And we have recorded in the Gospels how that the multitudes would come to him and he would teach them, and how the disciples, he went up in the mountain, and when he was said, his disciples came and he taught them, opened his mouth and he taught them. And he was teaching them the things that they would need to know so they would have a church that would function and would do well. that would spread the gospel, and so people would hear and be convicted of their sins and come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And so in this particular passage of Scripture, in the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew and in the 35th verse, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among them. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There were so many people that were coming to Jesus with all kinds of ailments. And he was moved with compassion. That is, he had pity on them. He felt sorry for them being in the condition that they were in. And so he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous." He said, "But the laborers are few." There was, you know, multitudes of people. And they came with all kinds of problems. Some of them were crippled. Some of them were blind. Some of them were deaf. Some of them had withered limbs. All kinds of sicknesses and disease. And Jesus felt compassion for them. He wanted to help them. He had the desire to help them because of their needs, the problems they had. No doubt there were many of them that were burdened because of sin. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. And the wages of living in sin is death, the Bible said. And so that's a good reason for us to have compassion upon the people that are around us. Now, we've heard requests today for people who had illnesses and sickness and so on. But, you know, those illnesses are not nearly as severe as the illness of sin. The disease of sin will bring physical death. And if you don't get forgiveness for your physical, for your sins, it will end in eternal death as well. So that's a sickness or a disease that is the worst of all, you know. There's no disease that is as bad as the disease of sin. And that has passed upon all of us. There are none of us who have been exempted from that because we are the descendant of Adam. And the Bible said, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive. But Jesus looking out on this multitude of people, and he said, the harvest is plenteous. The harvest truly is plenteous. You don't have to hunt, you know. You don't have to search for somebody that's in need. Because everybody is in need of the saving grace of God. And so he said, pray. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. Pray that he'll send laborers into his harvest. Now, the lesson that I read from John, he said unto them, he said, look upon the fields. Now that meant for them to deliberately cast their eyes upon the needs, upon the fields. He said, for they are white already unto harvest. The harvest time was in the present tense. For the disciples. And I want to say the harvest time is in the present tense for us as well. We need to look upon the fields. There is a great need for people to hear the gospel and to get convicted or become convicted of their sins. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And the Bible said that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So Jesus, now this was in Matthew's gospel where he said the harvest is plenteous. That was in the very early part of his ministry. It was in Galilee. Evidently they prayed for laborers into the harvest. Because in the 10th chapter of this very same book, it tells us that Jesus called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, and he ordained them to be preachers. He told them to go forth and to preach and to say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There were those that he laid his hand upon. He called them into the ministry. Go preach the gospel and tell people about power of God and about Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit moves and how the Lord Jesus has the power to save. The blood that flowed from Calvary will never lose its power. It is just as powerful today as it was the day Jesus spoke those words. The remedy for sin is still the same today as it was back then. And so we need to look upon the fields, look around us. I want to say to those who are watching by Facebook as well, you have lost friends, you have family members living in your household that haven't been saved. I tell you, they need to be saved. They need to be exposed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to look upon the fields, look around us. There's plenty of work to be done. There is more than you and I will ever get accomplished in our lifetime. There will be people that, when we're dead and gone, that will still need to be saved. And there are people living today that need to be saved. And so as we look up on the fields, we lift up our eyes and we see the harvest, that the potential harvest that is out there. It should move us with compassion as well. You know, it should cause us to have a feeling. We need to help these people. We need to move. We need to work together. We need to reach out. Let people know that we love them and we care for them. And we want them to be saved by God's grace. So I want to turn back over here. Now just for a few moments of time, into the book of John. And Jesus said to them, there yet 4 months. You know, say, well, maybe they'll get saved next year. They may not be living next year. Or we may not be living next year. They may not have next year as anybody that loves them as much as we love them. And that cares for their soul as much as we love them. And so we need to be about our Father's business now while we have the time and the opportunity. And he went on and he said this. The fields are ready. The fields are ready. And he said, he that reapeth receiveth wages. Now, that don't mean that you earn you know, your salvation by what you do. That's not the way it works. The reward is for others. I mean, the fruit of our labors is not that we get saved, but it's that they get saved. We work in the field. We share the gospel. We pray very earnestly for the salvation of souls. We do everything that we can, you know. And then when they get saved, the Holy Spirit, He has to convict them and He has to save them. And He's ready and willing to do that. And so when they get saved then, we are reaping are gathering fruit unto eternal life. He says, both he that soweth and he that reapeth rejoice together. We're always happy to hear about somebody being saved. Now the Bible tells us this, that the law and the prophets were unto John. When Jesus said the laborers are few, you know, the church was an infant church at that time, and they didn't have a lot of laborers. That's why the Lord said, pray for laborers. And they prayed for laborers. The law and the prophets were unto John. And since John, the kingdom of heaven has been preached. And so we need to pray for laborers, and we need to pray that God will give us a harvest. Now, I want to say this as well. I read this, and I don't know what year it was printed, but it was printed in Life magazine. And they went out of business back in 1979, I believe it was. They started in maybe 1833. I believe that's what the article said. So I don't know at what period, but there was a family living in Kansas. And, you know, Kansas, the state of Kansas is probably the greatest wheat-producing state in I know it is in the country and maybe even in the world. They produce lots of wheat. They have wheat as far as the eye can see, you know. The land is divided up in sections out there. A mile each way, you know. That'll be one field, be full of wheat. And there was a family that had a little boy, and he got lost in that wheat field, one of those big wheat fields. And they hunted for him, and they hunted for him, and they couldn't find him. And they sent word to the neighbors, and they came, and they all hunted for him, and they couldn't find him. And finally somebody said, let's hold hands, and let's go through this wheat field by sections until we find him. And so the picture in the book, in the magazine, it showed the family and all the neighbors gathered around this little boy in the wheat field. They found him, but it was too late. He had perished. And one of the neighbors said, or maybe it was his dad that said, oh, if we had just held hands and searched for him sooner. Now, what I've told you that story for this reason. It's time that we held hands. It's time that we come together, you know, and that we hold hands and that we search for the lost, that to try to find them before it's everlasting and finally too late. You know, our church, we have a wonderful church. We've been under some stress for the last year, you know. We've had some restrictions that have been placed upon us, and we have tried to faithfully hold on to that. You know, we want everybody that comes to our church to be safe and to feel comfortable. We want you to be able to come and worship the Lord without fear. And so we've tried to abide by that. And things are opening up now. And it's time, you know, our Sunday school has been down for a year. It's time we build it up. Our worship service, we've got lots of vacant seats in our building today. Our people need to come back in. We need to get hold of each other's hands. And we need to sweep this community looking for lost souls that they might get saved while they can. And so, I want us to lift up our eyes. I want you to look around you. I want you to spot. I want you to see. I'm sure that nearly everybody in this building today, you can focus immediately upon somebody that you know that is lost and without God. I hope that we can do that. I hope God will help us that we can do that. We do have personal responsibility, you know, as individuals. We're responsible to the Lord. We're responsible to each other. We're responsible as a church to try to reach people with the gospel and them to get saved before it's too late. Now, Jesus, he was sitting on the well. He was tired. He struck up a conversation with a total stranger. You know, she was a Samaritan. And the Samaritans, the Jews, didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. You know, and the disciples, when they came back from buying meat, they were astonished that he was even talking with that Samaritan. But, you know, she had a soul. You know, everybody that we come in contact with has a soul. The body is going to perish one of these days, but the soul is going to live forever. Everybody's soul needs to be saved, needs to be delivered from the consequences of sin. And the only thing that can do that is the blood of Jesus. Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary is the only means that has ever been provided for anybody to be saved from their sins. There is no other way. Plain as it can be. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There is none other name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. And so, as we come in contact with people, maybe someday you're working and you know you're thinking about the meeting. You know, and the Lord brings somebody to your mind. You know, we need to pray for that person. First of all, we need to pray for them. But also, we need to contact them and let them know that we want them to come. We want them to hear the gospel. And we need to hold hands, as it were, and we need to sweep through this community in the interest of lost souls. And I pray today that God will use this little message. Now, I know it's, I know the gospel is quick and powerful. I know that, the Word of God. It is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides asunder the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. It has that ability. The Holy Spirit can take the Word of God and get inside the mind and get inside the heart of people. And He can show them their sinful condition and their needs. We have weapons, to work with. You know, we don't have to just go out and in our own power, try to argue somebody into coming to church or anything like that. But we have weapons. Our weapons are not carnal. We don't use carnal resources. They are spiritual resources. They are mighty through God to the tearing down of the strongholds of Satan. There have been a lot of hard-hearted people that through the prayers of God's people and their compassion for them that have been brought down, and they have humbled themselves before God, and they have come to know Jesus, the Lord and Savior of mankind, and they have been given eternal life, and they have a hope beyond this grave. And so we need to use our spiritual resources in the battle of the Lord. You know, times are harder now from a spiritual standpoint than any time that I've ever known. It's harder. We have more opposition to what we believe in. You know, the powers that be, they have a head. And you know who he is? He's the devil. He's influencing people, you know, to deny the Word of God. Deny what the Bible says. Deny that there is a God. Deny that Jesus can save. Deny that you even need to be saved. You know, Satan is a mighty force. But I'm telling you, we as God's people, we have resources by which we can break down the strongholds of Satan. And we can, win people for the Lord. We need to be soul winners for Jesus, trying to get them in while we have the time and the opportunity. So Jesus and his disciples, they went into villages. And they preached the gospel. And people were saved. And they were delivered. They were delivered. And they became followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus. And that's what God wants us to be, is followers of Jesus. I want to impress upon you today the need for prayer, real, sincere prayer for the lost. I have a number of people that I'm praying for, and I'm not bragging. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I know people that have children and grandchildren that are lost. And it seems like they're interested in everything in the world except bringing them to church and them being saved. Now, that's a serious thing, folks. It is serious. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Children need to be under the influence of the gospel from the time they're born. In fact, all their life, as far as that is. But especially until they get saved. Because without being saved, you can't go to heaven. Now, that may sound like, you know, that's a terrible thing for you to stand up there and say. No, it's not a terrible thing. It's the truth. It's the truth. I want you and your kids to be saved. I want you to go to heaven with me. I'm going to heaven when I die. And I want you to go to heaven when you die. And I want us to do some real serious praying for the next 3 weeks. And let's talk to people. If you have the opportunity to bring up, you know, the revival and to bring up salvation, to ask somebody, have you been saved, you know? God will give us the grace to do it. And he'll help us. And there just might be somebody that you know that's waiting for somebody to say something to them. Invite them to come to church. Let them know that we're praying for them. And God can use these things. And these are the weapons of our warfare. I'm going to close. I hope you won't forget that little story that I told you. As a church, we're a body. You know, I'm glad for Facebook. I'm glad for Zoom. I'm glad for radios. I'm glad for televisions. But I tell you, a church can't survive on social media. God intended for His people to gather together, to come together. We're a body, and all of us are needed in the kingdom work of God. So I'm going to close. I pray God will bless a little message, and it'll be a help to somebody, an encouragement, a strength. I want you to pray for me. I'm no different to you. I'm just a man. That's all I am. I was born of a woman. I have a sinful nature. My body, you know, it hadn't been regenerated. My body hadn't. It's just a, you know, still has the nature it was born with. My body does. But my soul has been regenerated. And the Holy Spirit lives in my soul. And like Paul said, sometimes we do things we wouldn't do. We didn't aim to do, said we'd never do. We're going to do them anyway. That's because of the sinful nature that our bodies have. But I pray that God will strengthen us and help us. I want to help you. I want to help your children. I want to help your friends. Because I know if somebody don't help them, they're going to miss heaven. And it'd be better never to have been born than to live and die and miss heaven. May God help us all today. Anybody have a word on your heart this morning before we close?